The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. The many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. The sermon title might sound familiar to you. It's a paraphrase from a song first recorded by Irma Franklin, Aretha's older sister, in 1967. The song really gained a following when Janis Joplin recorded it in 1968. You, however, might know it from the Faith Hill version of 1993, or by the 2005 version of Melissa Etheridge, or the 2006 recording by Beverly Knight. Well, what does a line from "Peace of My Heart" have to do with our text? The energy, the passion, and the guttural emotion heard in that song are found in this text. You should hear, feel, experience, see, know that when our text says Jesus had compassion, it comes with all the force, all the depth, all the emotion conveyed by that song. And even if you don't know that song, you can still know what I mean when I say, take another little piece of his heart. We need to take just a little piece of Jesus' heart to bring us to see how wretched, fallen, and sinful we are when we dare to act like he doesn't care. When we do that, we're out of touch with the Lord. Scripture calls on us to cast our cares on too, because he cares for you. We've got to be out of step with the Lord, Scripture says, leads us through the valley of the shadow of death when we are convinced we're alone and stuck there. We've got to be out of tune with the Lord, Scripture hymns as having delivered my soul from the depths of the grave when we feel and fear we're at the mercy of merciless death. Look at our text. See Jesus having compassion on his overworked apostles. It's worth thinking about that this is the only time Mark calls the 12 apostles. The Holy Spirit wants that noted. They've just returned from their first mission apart from Jesus. And like kids home from camp, they're bursting with stories. They reported to Jesus all that they had done and taught. They told of casting out that demon, healing that sick person. They told them how they taught here and taught that. Remember, they had gone out two by two, so they were sharing with each other these things for the first time too. Evidently, news of what they had been doing followed them back to Jesus, and people were coming and going, so much so that our text reports they did not even have a chance to eat. They were running on empty. They were in a hurry to get things done, and they rushed and rushed till life was no fun. You've been there, you've done that. And when what you're doing is for someone else, when you know it's in service to the Lord, you don't feel right about calling stop. So Jesus did it for the apostles. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus had compassion for the physical needs of the apostles. This is the only place in the Gospels where the idea of physical rest occurs. The fact that the need to rest from work shows up just this once, well, that tells you it's not nearly as big of a theme as our world makes it out to be. The fact that Jesus suggests it suggests the rest shows you that he has compassion when you're physically stressed. Take another little piece of such a heart. But what's this? The physically stressed disciples go away with Jesus, only to find the crowds waiting for them at the retreat center. Mark doesn't tell you, but John does. Many followed because they saw the signs which Jesus did on those who were diseased. They're miracle mongers. They seek Jesus for physical relief. And yet, what does the text say? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There's a lesson here. Jesus does care for your physical needs, but he cares more for your spiritual. Yes, he came into the world to bear your griefs and carry your sorrows. But first and foremost, he came to keep the law that can only and always accuse you, and he came to pay for your sins against that law. He did not enter your flesh and blood so that your flesh and blood would never suffer. If he did, he was a failure, wasn't he? God the Son took on your flesh and blood to redeem you from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. As great as his compassion is for physical afflictions, he has exponentially more compassion for spiritual afflictions. Take another big piece of his heart this time, because this is going to hurt. First, let's look at that word compassion. In English, it's rather a sweet word. In Greek, it's not. I've told you many times before, it means to be moved in the nobler organs. The spleen is the noun form of this verb. In the Gospels, it's only used of Jesus and of a character in a parable representing him. It's a blunt, forceful word. It's Janis Joplin offering up another piece of her heart. It's Dusty Springfield insisting to come on, take it. Here's what the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says about this Greek word. This rather rough term seems none too well adapted to express the divine dealings. Compassion is not a syrupy term, but a stout one. Add to this that spiritual needs trump physical ones, and you have the compassionate, all-loving Lord piercing his own mother with a sword. You have Job, the apple of God's eye, treated like a rotten core. You have Joseph, for whose sake the Lord favored so many others, languishing in prison for more than a decade. And we have you. Health problems, family troubles, job difficulties, life unraveled. But the Lord does nothing. You pray like Mary did at the foot of the cross. You pray like Job did on his ash heap. You pray like Joseph did in prison. You pray for this thorn of Satan to be taken out of your flesh like St. Paul did. But not only isn't it removed, it festers, it gets infected, and it hurts all the more. Behold the compassion of your Lord. Behold the compassion of the Lord who endured the hellish passion for the sake of sinners. I think the 17th century Protestant pastor John Donne misses this mystery. He asked in wonder in one of his sermons, "Was not thy passion enough? But thou must have compassion." He's right. The scripture clearly says the one who suffered for us and our salvation is the very same one who has compassion. But in the depths of physical suffering, don't you think, if thou was willing to take on my passion, where is thy compassion? I know I think that. Remember, Jesus' compassion is rough, forceful, and focused on eternal spiritual things, not fleeting earthly ones. If our Lord dealt with us as like a cruel torturer, we could plead and beg, and we might get him to relent or remove our physical suffering. But we're in the hands of a divine surgeon who has only good intentions in mind. The kinder and more faithful a human surgeon is, the more he will go on cutting, no matter how much more physical pain this will lead to. If a surgeon gives in to our pleading before the operation is completed, all the pain up to that point would be useless, and all the pain that is to follow would be pointless. So, take another little piece of his heart. Bite down on it the way they do in Westerns when a bullet is being removed. Bite down on your baptism where earthly water gives you eternal blessings. Bite down on your absolution where in the words spoken by a man on earth you hear the God of heaven forgiving you. Bite down on the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you on earth to give you heavenly life. Repent and return to the cross where you see earthly suffering has eternal benefits. Repent of acting like your good shepherd does not care. And repent of acting like a shepherdless sheep. Sheep without a shepherd are scattered by wolves, storms, and physical afflictions. You're not shepherdless sheep. Every single Sunday, the Good Shepherd calls you to hear and feed on His words and sacraments. Every Sunday, He calls you to the sheepfold. When you stay away, when you sleep in, when you have better things to do, you're acting like shepherdless sheep. And beware, be warned, you can easily get used to that. The worst thing is that shepherdless sheep almost always feel they're still sheep. Even though they don't hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, as Jesus says all His sheep do, they still think they're His sheep. But it doesn't matter what they think, it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what the Good Shepherd thinks. And Jesus thinks you need teaching. Don't act like a sheep without a shepherd and shun the teaching of the Good Shepherd. When Jesus sees the crowd that we know are looking for spiritual, physical, as it was, we're looking for physical things, He says their real problem is that they are like sheep without a shepherd. And then how does He remedy that problem? Heal them? Feed them? No. He began teaching them many things. He had Bible class for them. Take another little piece of His heart and see that Jesus has so much compassion for you that He refuses to leave you like sheep without a shepherd, and so sends an under-shepherd to teach you. Teach me what? The Holy Spirit just says many things. Well, what's that? Go to the epistles. Go to those whom Jesus opened their minds to teach them all things about Himself. Go to Holy Scripture, which is God's lamp and light to you. The many things Jesus taught them were things like you heard in that epistle. He abolished in His flesh the law with His commandments and regulations. He has made peace between you and God through His cross. You are not shepherdless sheep. You are called, gathered, and enlightened here each and every Sunday by God's word and sacraments. And you're not afflicted. Jesus saying they were like shepherdless sheep, well, that didn't come out of thin air. Several times in the Old Testament, that idea comes up. One place is Zechariah 10:2. It says, "The people wander like sheep. They are afflicted because there is no shepherd." Well, you have a shepherd in Jesus Christ, therefore you are not afflicted. How's that? Of course I'm afflicted. I've got this, that, and that, this going on, and it hurts. But compared to the heavenly weight of glory, Paul says such afflictions are only light and momentary. And with even just a little piece of Jesus' heart, the heart that for you was overwhelmed into death, the heart that was pierced by a spear, the heart that filled the font with water and this chalice with blood, with this heart, it's not affliction at all. It's surgery. Amen. Now, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.